I'm Mary Clark, and this is Mary Clark Traveler. Today, I'm taking you to Egypt, pre-revolution Egypt, to travel the desert road from Cairo to Alexandria. I thought then, and still believe, it is a swift journey from Egypt's past to its future. In parting Cairo, our bus crawled through a few of its poor neighborhoods where camels trotted down narrow alleyways and donkeys pulled trash-laden carts. The dust-shrouded Giza pyramids appeared suddenly, facing some of Egypt's most luxurious hotels. And mountains of nearby sands gave notice of the approaching desert. Despite its exotic name, the desert road is now a 4-to-6-lane tollway, reducing the trip to Alexandria to 3 hours, a far cry from the multi-day experience of the past. Thanks to the construction of the Aswan Dam, Egypt controls the distribution of water through the Nile and its tributaries. The fields along the road use this source to irrigate olive, apple, orange, and banana orchards, vineyards, date palms, and fields of cabbage, corn, and other vegetables. We passed small trucks filled to the brim with tomatoes grown in nearby greenhouses. The government has encouraged cultivation by providing land to would-be farmers who are allowed to keep their profits. The farms alternated with new compounds, walled and gated subdivisions serving Cairo's commuters. Along the road were glimpses of the past, as men in the long flowing gowns worked fields or tended goats. Women were more likely to be covered completely in burqas than in the cities. Stretches of barren dry sand encroached on farms, and pigeon towers adjoined many homes. These cone-head hives house trained pigeons who attract fellow birds to roost in the punctured holes. Pigeons are called the food of King Farouk, are served grilled or stuffed with rice, and are very popular with Egyptians. Large modern roadhouses appeared regularly, providing gasoline, food, small stores, cappuccino, and an occasional mosque. Children's museum amusement parks with names like, and this is in English, Weekend and Aqua City, hinted at the heavy use of the road for vacationing Egyptians, and a large prison seemed appropriately placed. As we approached Alexandria, Egypt's emphasis on international trade became obvious. Its suburbs host factories that produce cottonware for such U.S. companies as Dacher and Timberland. Pharmaceutical companies, Pepsi, IKEA, and General Motors were all present, as well as Egypt's thriving natural gas and gasoline refineries. Yet nearby, hand-poled boats are still used to harvest marsh reeds for baskets, as in the time of Moses. Alexandria soon arrived with its modern malls and freestanding McDonald's. The beautiful Corniche Avenue, built by the city's businessmen, weaves along the Mediterranean Sea, past waves of apartment buildings used by Cairo's elite in the summer. A Four Seasons hotel reflects this city's current international status, while newly discovered Roman ruins provide proof of its past glory. But today, the jewel of the coast is the stunning 9-year-old Alexandria Library, funded primarily through UNESCO and USAID. Its goal of being the center of Middle East learning and Arab reform are lofty and exciting. Twice monthly dialogue forums provide free exchange of ideas. The location, adjacent to the University of Alexandria, assures heavy use by students of its 600,000 volumes and the large digitalized library. Because Egypt still recognizes Israel as a country, the library could also serve as a neutral forum to promote resolution of the Palestinian issue. A science museum and planetarium support the Academy of Science that was begun in 1798. It's a very busy place. With its 20 million inhabitants, Cairo still dominates the economy of the country. Tourists were and will continue to be drawn there to visit the pyramids more than any other site. The road to Alexandria, though, tells the story of Egypt's expanded development, which is needed to provide more employment. But it also leads you to the clean, fresh air of the sea, an alluring prospect indeed.
Mary Clark is a retired attorney and lifelong traveler who began writing about her journeys in 2008. If you'd like to see photos from Mary's trips, read blog entries, and more, visit maryclarktraveler.com. Programming you hear on 88.9 KETR is brought to you in huge part thanks to listener support. Please dig deep and give what you can at KETR.org. Click support this station.